We're in the pump room for the sewage treatment plant for the city of Detroit. It's a huge domed room filled with colorful ceramic tiles. A maintenance worker has climbed up onto one of the pumps and is running a polishing rag over it. The treatment plant is one of the largest of its kind in the world. Wastewater from around southeast Michigan flows to the pumps at the plant. Kim Rice is the head sewage plant operator.
The flow goes into what we call a wet well. These pumps that you see on top of the floor here, the motors are connected to shafts that go down four floors. The bottom of the shaft is the impeller. The impellers actually lift up the raw sewage.
Detroit has what's called a combined sewer system. The combined system is designed to catch the water that's flushed from homes and businesses and water that washes off the city streets after it rains. All that water mixes into one large sewer system. And because the storm water mixes with the sewage, some pretty unusual things have washed up at the treatment plant.
You name it, we've had it. 55-gallon drums, railroad ties, a lot of rags. Anything that you can wash into a sewer or a storm drain winds up here.
But the wastewater doesn't always make it to the treatment plant. Storm drains are designed to rid the streets of water as quickly as possible. So when it rains, water races off paved surfaces and begins to fill the combined sewer system. If the rainstorm is big enough, the sewage treatment plant can't handle the volume of water running through the pipes. To keep water from backing up into people's basements and from flooding city streets, the sewer systems are designed to overflow into nearby rivers and streams. These outlets are called combined sewer overflows, or CSOs. Bob Patcher is the executive director of Michigan's Heavy Construction Association. He's been involved in the CSO issue for more than 20 years. He once took a local news crew out to film one of the overflows during a rainstorm.
Took them down to a place called Connor Creek in Jefferson Avenue, which is one of the discharge areas for one of Detroit's CSOs. And this was after about an inch of rain, and they set their cameras up, and it was the most disgusting thing you've ever seen in your life. All of a sudden, this slick appeared, just bubbled up in the middle of Connor Creek, got to within probably 10 or 12 feet of diameter and just floated right out in the Detroit River. And we stood there and watched that happen probably a half a dozen times.
That was 12 years ago, and these types of discharges still happen today. Rolf Deininger is a professor of environmental health sciences at the University of Michigan.
You probably know of the many beach closings last summer and the summers before. And it seems to happening with increased frequency because we have these combined sewer overflows, the water from the sewers enters the Great Lakes, and then depending on the currents, depending on the winds, it comes ashore again at the beaches. And so the beaches frequently are being closed.
Swimmers who come in contact with the contaminated water could develop a number of health problems. Normally, the health effects are limited to stomach ailments, but occasionally, in heavily polluted water, people may be exposed to more serious threats, such as dysentery, hepatitis, and typhoid fever. When big sewage overflows occur, it creates intense pressure on city officials to solve the problem. But solving the problem is expensive. Smaller cities with equally small budgets often look to bigger cities to help them. Kathleen Levy is the interim director of sewer and water for the city of Detroit.
You've got the pressure from the state coming down on the communities. The communities coming to us and saying, what can you do to help us solve this? And we've got to pull the state into this picture and start having a discussion because we've got to do some long-term planning. People can't afford the costs that are coming out of this. They want clean water, and I don't think they've yet associated the cost of clean water with the cost of what is being done to make that water clean.
What's being done varies from city to city, but one common problem they all face is cost. Projects designed to resolve the CSO issue in larger cities easily run into the billions of dollars. Finding funding for projects that are underground and out of sight can be a challenge. Right now, funding comes from a mixed bag of sources: low-interest loans from the state and federal government, and bonds. But most of the money comes from water and sewer fees. And in many places, those fees are on the rise. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Mark Brush.